And so praise God for that. So the message today is called How It Works, and it's basically the body gifted part two. So the church was born in power. That's what we've been talking about this whole year. And it was born in power because the church was born by the Holy Spirit. The birthday of the church is the day of Pentecost. That'll be coming up. The day of Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. So the day of Pentecost is 7 weeks after, 7 weeks out from Easter Sunday. So 7 weeks from next Sunday, we will go into our day of Pentecost and into the celebration of the birth of the church. This is our theme for the year, which we're calling Full of the Spirit. And Jesus made a promise to his disciples as he was getting ready to leave them over in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We'll get into this on the day of Pentecost. He said, but you shall receive power. He said, I'm leaving. I have to go. But when I go, I'm going to send you another. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he said this in Acts 1, 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Now, I want you to see something here. Jesus doesn't say you're going to receive power and you're going to speak in tongues. That wasn't the promise. Okay, I believe that that is part of the result. But you don't have to believe that with me. This is not a church that's going to cram anything down your throat. We're going to teach the word of God, and as it affects your heart, then let it affect your heart. Amen. Let God minister. But notice he doesn't say it. Notice he doesn't say that you're going to have goosebumps. Notice he doesn't say that you're going to swing from the chandeliers or anything like that. He says the power of the Spirit is going to come upon you, and it's going to be for what? To witness for me. In Jerusalem, that's our local community. In Judea, that's the region. In Samaria, that's the nation. And then to the ends of the earth. Jesus wants us as a people to minister his gospel, to minister his word to the world around us. And how many know, because I'll put my hand up, you don't have to put your hand up, but I know you have felt it from time to time. You get to that place and you get a little scared. Or you get to that place and you get a little nervous. I don't know what to say. I should have taken this class, or I should have taken OSL, or I should have done this. No, this is what these gifts of the Holy Spirit are for. This is why the Holy Spirit manifests himself into our corporate gathering, manifests himself into the life of the believer, so that we can be the witnesses that he's called us to be. And so Jesus here was speaking about the church. He was speaking about the body of Christ that those disciples were a part of. And that is what we've been zeroed in on this year, because what they were a part of, praise God, I believe, is this. They were just the beginning of this, of the Spirit-filled church, of the church that believes that God is going to empower us, of the church that believes that God is going to use us, of the church that we believe that Sunday isn't it. Sunday is a celebration of what God did the whole week before and an expectation of God to recharge our spiritual batteries for the week ahead. Some of you may look at this week and say, wow, what a week I have ahead of me. You know what? Expect that today God is doing something in your life to charge you for the week ahead. Amen? And this is the church that he was speaking to. If you don't yet remember our scripture for this series, we have been looking at Acts 6:3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And what we've been doing is we've been talking about what this church looks like, what these men, what these women look like who are full of the Spirit of God. We see that the church that is full of the Spirit is because the people in it are full of the Spirit. The church is a building. The church is a shell. I'm reminded of that when I'm here during the week by myself and I do my prayer walks, or I do whatever I do, study in my office or whatever I'm doing in this place. I'm reminded, you know what? This isn't the church. This is a church building. It's a building where the church can gather. Some churches are meeting in people's living rooms today. Some churches are meeting under trees today in other countries. Some churches are meeting underground today because if they're found out, they would be arrested or maybe persecuted in some other way. You see, the church isn't the building that we drive by. The church is the people that gather in that building. And that's what we're talking about here. We know that because we also understand that the church is the people. A church full of people, full of the Spirit, is a church that is seeing their community changed by the gospel and by the power of God. The power of God is seen through the powerful word that they preach. Why is it a powerful word? Why is this a powerful word today? Isn't it Pastor Ken that's sharing it? No, I'm the vessel that the Holy Spirit is using. I'm not reading, I haven't gone online to download a message that some other pastor spoke, because that was relevant to the church that he spoke in at the time that he spoke it or she spoke it. I'm not going to a lectern or to some other book that tells me on this date, this is what you speak. I'm not judging those things. But how many know I want a fresh word? I want a word that God has worked in my life. I don't even set an agenda for, like, I can't tell you what the next message is of this. I know where I'm going. I know what the Holy Spirit's saying. But that week when I sit down to write that message, the Holy Spirit, I believe, comes upon me and leads me into just sometimes different thoughts. You've seen me change my whole thinking of the message and go back to something else or start something new within that series of messages because I want it to be fresh. He knows who would be here today. He knows who would be watching today. He knows what you need to hear. He knows what you need to see from his word. And so I have to trust in him. Now, some pastors would say, that's crazy. How do you do that? I'd rather have my whole calendar set up, and there's pastors that do that. Nothing against them. How many know the Holy Spirit can lead them to set up the whole calendar for the year? Praise God. Maybe I'm just not that organized. And I'm willing to say I'm not that organized. So my thing, it's not flying by the seat of my pants. I know where I'm heading. Many times I'll tell my wife, I know the message, but I haven't gotten it on paper yet. I haven't put it down in a way that really is going to bring it out to the church. That's just the way I work. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works through me. So let me say it that way. It's not about me. Amen? Seeing our community change. It's God's word. It's a word that is alive. It's a word that is God-breathed. It's a word that is relevant. I'm cruising through these things because you can find all of these in previous messages online. And it is a word that is speaking loudly and clearly into the lives of people. We've had, in the last couple weeks, we've had visitors come back. Why have we had that? Because I believe that the word that is being spoken is touching people's hearts. I believe that people who have started to attend here again or for the first time are sensing something here. It's not about the people. It's not about the way we do things. All of that is done by the way the Holy Spirit moves in us. And so if you're visiting with us and you've been new to us in the last whatever the case may be, I just want you to know what you're feeling is the Holy Spirit. That's what you're feeling. I had a woman one time, I shared this not long ago, but sometimes because not everybody heard it. And she was here for almost a year. And she decided she wanted to be a member. And so on the first night of membership class, I show a movie about Amy Semple McPherson, and it talks about her being Pentecostal. And so this woman sat through that class, and I never saw her again. And I called her, and I said, where have you been? And she goes, well, I didn't know it was a Pentecostal church. I said, Nat, is what? You've been here for a year. You have enjoyed everything. You have loved it here. You have said you loved it here. Why does Pentecostal, I mean, we're not crazy. We're not swinging from the chandeliers today. We're not doing goofy stuff. We just believe in a fullness of the Spirit in our services, in our singing. And I think that's what people are drawn by. People are drawn by the Spirit. It's just they don't understand what the Spirit really is. And that's what this whole series of messages is about. And so she never came back. And I thought, wow, how sad it is. Not that I'm judging her, but she loved it here. She felt like God was putting her here. She felt fed here. She felt like she was a part here. And then all of a sudden, because of one word, she never comes back again. If I just upset you by saying Pentecostal, please come back. If the Lord leads you out of here, then he leads you out of here. But don't leave because we're Pentecostal. You've been here. You know who we are. You know what we're about. So why change that? Amen? I have some different views in Pentecostalism than maybe some other Pentecostal pastors have. I think we have a very balanced church in Pentecostalism. I don't know, but please don't leave because of that word. And so this church that is full of the Spirit see things the way that God sees them. They have a clear vision and an understanding of biblical and heavenly things. And that brings a clearer vision to what is going on in the world around us. If you want to understand what is truly going on in the world around us, I can't tell you that I have a handle on it. Sometimes I look at it and I think I figured it out, and then something else happens. I'm like, nope, didn't have that figured out. But how many know the Holy Spirit can help us figure it out? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to get into word of knowledge and word of wisdom today. Can't make it any further than that today, but that's where we're going. We're going to talk about a little bit of that today. We said that they are together. They are unified. They're unified in their calling. They're unified in their sonship, being children of God. And they're unified in their worship. What you experienced today as we sang was a unification of our worship, coming together in worship. We are a family. Our sign says we're a family. Where other Foursquare churches, their sign would say a Foursquare church. I chose, and I asked Foursquare if it was okay, and they said it's fine. I chose a Foursquare family. Because we truly believe that we are family and that we are one together, and we're trying to get better at that in many different ways. We said that this church that is full of the Spirit knows their calling. They understand what God has placed them here for. It is a church that is gifted because of the giftings of the people who are in it. And then last week, we began to look at those giftings of the people who make up the church of Jesus Christ. That is our giftings. We're looking at your giftings. We're looking at what Jesus has given to us as a church body, as a church family, and how he expects us to operate in those giftings. And so let's talk about this today. Let's get into it. The spiritual gifts, or what I would call the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are gifts that empower the church so that the church can be Jesus on earth. How many know Jesus left, right? He went to sit at his rightful seat at the right hand of the Father. So physically, he left his disciples. When he was leaving, he said, "Don't worry, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. It will be even greater for you to have the Holy Spirit, because where I in the flesh just walked with you, the Holy Spirit will be in you." So he will be, as sometimes if you notice in the Bible, Jesus wasn't with the disciples. When Jesus meets the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, right? When he meets her, where are the disciples? They're buying food. So what does that mean? Jesus wasn't with them. Guess what? You can go to ShopRite, and you can go to Walmart, and you can go to the places you go, and guess who's with you? The Holy Spirit. You can go to school, and you can go to work, and you can go to the places that you hang out and do, like bowling and throwing darts or men's group, women's group, whatever you do, you can go to the cabin, and guess who's with you? The Holy Spirit. See, Jesus couldn't have been with everybody that way. And so he says, it's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and this Holy Spirit is going to empower you. And then he says this, to do greater things than what I've done on earth. Amen. Now, it's not about us doing greater things. It's about the fact that we get to be Jesus on this earth, the church. This is what Jesus promised to his disciples and all who would follow in John 16, verses 7 to 15. Giving you a lot of scripture today because I want to prove everything in the scriptures. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come," if you have a Bible there that you're looking at, you'll look, and him and he, the pronouns, they are capital H's, which means God. "When he," Holy Spirit is God, "when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he," the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, "has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Now, in the same conversation just a little earlier, back in John 14, this is what Jesus had to say in regards leading up to what I just read to you. John 14, verses 12 to 17. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do," listen, "he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper," that's the Holy Spirit, "that he may abide with you forever." Jesus said, "I can't abide with you forever. I cannot be everywhere you are." This Holy Spirit will abide in you. He will abide with you forever. "He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." To all of those scriptures, I say, praise God. Praise God. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to gift the church with all of his power from heaven to do exactly what Jesus did on this earth and greater things while we were on earth. This is what the church should be doing. Should the church be raising the dead? Yes, they should. Should the church be seeing people healed from deafness and blindness and every other disease? Yes, they should. Should the church be speaking profound things from the Word of God to the world that it lives in? Yes, they should. And it would be important here to remember what Jesus said that his mission was while he was on the earth. Because, church, I want you to know that that is our mission today. Let me show you what Jesus said he was sent for. And we see that over in Luke 4, 18 to 19. I have spoken messages from all of these scriptures. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me," talking about himself, "to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So, if those things are what Jesus came to this earth for, and Jesus left and left the church in his place to do those same things and even greater things, then can you see why the gifts of the Spirit are so important to the church today? We need them. I don't know how we get away with saying we don't need them or that they're not for today. I don't understand that. I get that people have different views about things, and I'm not going to fight with anybody over that. You want to believe that way? Believe that way. But I want to see the fullness of God's Spirit in life, in my body. I want to see it in my ministry. I want to see it in our church. I want to see it on Saturday morning when kids show up to find Easter eggs. That in the midst of looking for eggs and looking for something that they think is just the coolest thing in the world, when the puppets come out and when somebody smiles on them and loves on them and cares for their parents the way that we need to care for them, you know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to slip his love right on in. Amy Semple McPherson, the founder of our church, she had a saying. She did a lot of things with Hollywood because she was right there in L.A. And so people would look at her as a woman and, you know, wonder, how can she speak the word? She's a woman. And it was in a day when, you know, women weren't that appreciated in ministry. Today, in some churches, they're still not appreciated in ministry. We can't get by that because we were started by a woman. So guess what? We have to acknowledge that God does use women in ministry. There's no other way around it. God used her to do great and mighty miracles. God used her to start a whole church denomination. So praise God for that. But in the midst of that, she'd say, that's all right. Open your mouths and gape at a woman speaker. But while you're gaping, I'll sneak the gospel in. See, she understood what her job was. You want to look at me as a woman? You want to look at me? That's fine. But as you're looking at me and wondering how this all works, I'm going to sneak the gospel in. The gifts are important to the church. And so we covered the ministry gifts. We already looked at those. We didn't spend much time with them. Maybe later on we'll go back, because some of them do need some, I think, understanding. Even this week, I think people have asked me about apostles and prophets and those types of things. So maybe we do need to explain them a little bit, but I didn't spend much time on them. And those are the ones that are called out. That was the message about 2 weeks ago. Those are the ones that are called out to serve the church and to raise people up to their full potential in God. That's me. I'm a pastor. I'm called out. I'm nothing special. I'm nothing greater than you. God doesn't love me more than he loves you. God doesn't want to use me any more than he wants to use me. But God has raised me to a greater responsibility. So before you want my position, know this. I'm going to stand before God someday. And not only am I going to give account for what I did with my boys and how I loved my wife, but God's going to say, okay, so now I'm going to hold you accountable for what you did for the church, how you ministered to them, what you did in that church, the people you hurt, the people you loved, and the things you did. You're accountable for that. You're going to give an answer to that. So be ready for some of these positions. It's not always fun just to be called out. Everybody wants to be called out. No, we all have a ministry, but these are the five gifts. They are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And some would even say today that apostles have been that are no longer. I want to tell you, apostles are needed today, and they do operate today, and that Pastor Dennis Shear, I believe, he'll never say this, but I tell him all the time, he operates as an apostle. He oversees many churches. He speaks into the life of pastors. If you look what Paul did, Paul wrote the Word of God. Now, no, Pastor Dennis isn't going to do that because the Word of God is finished. It's complete. There's no more need to add to it. But he does go and speak into pastors' lives. He does go to this network of churches that he's in and preaches life to those churches and raises up a level of faith in those churches. And so he very much moves in what the Apostle Paul did, start churches, be involved in the life of churches, write letters to churches, and keep the church going, keep the church focused on what it needs to be doing. That's the apostle. And so I see him as that today. Prophets are still around. Now, prophets aren't bringing out any new word. This is it. This is all the word. But prophets will bring out things that God is speaking from his word so that people understand it better. Going to talk a little bit about that today. But how many know the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all the called out, how many of them, they need help? Yesterday, Kim and I could have never gotten done what you guys got done if you didn't show up. And thank you for that, because it would have never gotten done. And so we're thankful for those people that come and help and assist and give their talents and give their work and give their whatever to the church where we're at today. We need assisting in our calling. And so we have the gifts of the manifestation. Those five gifts were the gifts of ministry. Now we're spending time in the gifts of manifestation. There's nine of them. They are word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, faith, healings, miracles, discerning of spirits, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We're going to get through them all. Sadly, not today. Turn with me again over to 1 Corinthians 12. That's where we started last week. And let's look at these from what Paul says about them. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I think the church is ignorant today in many ways for the spiritual gifts. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If you want a better understanding of verse 3, check out last week's message. I did expound on it a little bit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, the gifts may look different as people use them, okay? The gifts are different. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, key. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Verse 7 is the key because it tells us that these aren't gifts that you can have. Now, the gifts that you have and the gifts that you move in are what we call the motivational gifts. We haven't gotten there yet. They are gifts that you carry in your personality. God blesses you with. But these gifts are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They can pop up in any person at any time as God is willing and as God wants to speak to his church and do something in his church. And so verse 7 tells us that these gifts are for all. That means everyone. And that they profit all or they profit everyone. So this means, church, and I want to encourage you today, this means that you can move in these gifts. And when you do, the whole church reaps the benefits. Amen? This is why we should want the manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit moving in our gatherings. They are a sign that the Holy Spirit has manifested his presence among us. They are a sign that the power of God is moving in his people. They demonstrate the glory of the kingdom of God here in his people on earth. Many people will come to church. Many people sit in pews. I told you over the last few years, many times I brought this up because it really astounds me that there are pastors speaking in the pulpit today that do not believe the word that they're speaking. I can't fathom it. The only reason why they said they do it is because that's how they make their money. That's their living. And they don't know how else they could make a living. That's sad. And here's the thought of that. There are people sitting in pews today that don't know the power of God. They're serving him, they're singing to him, they're praising him, but they don't even know if God exists because the enemy brings doubt. You see, that's the church that you're going to have if you don't have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, because what the manifestation does is it shows that the Spirit is there, it shows that he is active, it shows that God is moving, and it shows the power of God where God's people gather. I need to tell you this. In the day that we're living, our college students and our children in the schools that they're in, man, I can't even tell you right now. Maybe in the summer I'll take some time, but I can't even tell you right now what your kids are being bombarded in the public school system with. It is craziness, church. Craziness. Now, I know we all can't homeschool, because if we could, I would tell you, take them out of school and homeschool them. But we can't do that. I get it. We have jobs. We have things. Just pray over them. But I'll tell you what they need. They need the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And if somebody can tell me what email went out to our kids in middle school this week, I would like to know that, because it wasn't given to the teachers, but there's some new club that's starting in a school, and I'd like to know what it is, because I don't know what they're starting, and I'm curious, because I want to be a voice in that if I can. So if your kid's in middle school and they got that email, would you please let me know what it is? I should have asked some of the parents, and I forgot. Amen. They have a right to meet. I get it. Because the Christians meet, so they have a right. I'm not going to knock that, but I want to know what's being taught. There's something that it's very silent and very quiet, bothering me a little bit. So, these are the signs that the Holy Spirit is moving. I get on rabbit trails, folks. We have to be open to accepting these things and allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest his presence in us and through us, because they are for you today. They are for today. They are for this church, and this church needs them to be operating in our gatherings. They are released through our faith in and our trust in God. So let's look at them today, and let's look how God wants to use them. So you might want to take some notes. I'm going to give you what these look like in the corporate gathering of the church and what these look like in your life. And I'm only going to get through the first two today. So let's look at them and see how God wants to use them in our church. So the first three are going to come under what I would call speaking God's words. That's the first three, speaking God's words. Jesus said that I've been ordained by the Spirit to go and speak the word of God, set the captives free, and bring the word of the gospel, right? The good news. Amen? This is the gifts that help us do that, speaking God's words. The Holy Spirit wants to give each and every one of us the ability to speak God's words into someone's life and over situations and circumstances today. He wants to encourage us, he wants to mature us, and he wants to empower us to lift our level of faith and trust in him today. And he does this through the Holy Spirit manifestation of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the gift of prophecy. Ooh, prophecy, Pastor, I don't know if I want Jesus to move. Listen, if you think that, he's never going to move. We need God to move in these things. We need words of wisdom. We need words of knowledge. We need words of prophecy in this building because people need to know that God is truly speaking to his people and that his word is truth today. Amen? We don't have enough of it. So let's look at the word of knowledge, number one. It is the Holy Spirit giving us knowledge about something that we otherwise would have no ability or means of knowing based on our human intelligence. Let me say that again, not calling you dumb. I'm just saying we would not know these things based on what we know in the human mind. It is the Holy Spirit giving us knowledge about something that we otherwise would have no ability or means of knowing based on our human intelligence. The ability to know something, it is also the ability to know something to be true that exceeds natural human thinking. How's it seen in our body? How's it exercised in a gathering like this? It is seen in our body when someone or a group of people who are going through and having a tough time become understanding something that we are going through or experiencing. In other words, a group of people or a person is going through something they don't understand. How could God have done this? How could he let this happen? How could this be? I'm praising, I'm tithing, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. How did I get sick? How did that person die? How did all this happen? And somebody or someone comes up through the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and has a word to that group of people or to that person that brings knowledge that they could not know by their human intelligence, brings understanding to it, that only God could have. See, the Holy Spirit will manifest his presence in one of us with the ability to know facts that we would not be able to know without him. And it astounds people because they're like, how did you know that? I would say that Brother Bill James, thank you, Bill James, moves in this. I know he does because this is what, and Bill James will spend an hour to an hour and a half after the service with anyone who wants to stay, and he will touch your forehead and pray over you, and then he will have a word of wisdom and knowledge. He uses both of them, sometimes even prophetic, over your life. He will tell you things that, and I watch people, and I know some people, and I'm like, wow, he hit them head on. I didn't talk to Bill about that. I never told Bill anything about that situation. He doesn't call me and say, hey, I'm coming this Sunday. Who's dealing with this? Who's dealing with that? We don't talk about it. But I've seen him almost hit every person right on with where they're at with God, things that I don't even know. Never embarrasses the person, never hurts. That's key about the word of knowledge, okay? Because it could be used in the wrong ways, okay? So the word of knowledge is then something where somebody knows something, knows things, is able to discern things, able to set things straight that otherwise we would not know. And I've watched many of you walk away from time with Brother Bill James with the knowledge in your heart of, wow, that's what he said. It makes sense to me now. I didn't see that before. Or I know that about myself, so I'm going to write that down somewhere and expect God to confirm it because it was more prophetic than anything. To be able to apply a spiritual principle in that situation or to that person, it is truly what I've been calling, really it is this, seeing as God sees, seeing what God sees. Now, you might be praying, or the Holy Spirit might just come upon you. It could be in either situation. And he might provide you information to you about the condition of someone else. This is how it works a lot of time, okay? Now, he's not going to tell you gross sin, and he's not going to give you things that person is messed up with. He's going to give you things that you can pray for that person about. Maybe you go to that person, maybe you don't. It might just be a word of knowledge for you to use in your prayer life. Lord, I pray for so-and-so today. God, you show me in my heart that they're going through a tough time. Lord, I need to go give so-and-so $50 today. You've laid that upon my heart. Some of you have done that here. Lord, I need to go take Sister So-and-so to the doctor today. She doesn't have a ride. I did not know that. Nobody told me that. Pastor didn't ask for that to happen. You dropped that into my spirit, God, so I need to do that. You may never talk to that person. You may never let them know what you know. You might. I don't know. It depends what Lord's leading you in. He might be asking you to help them. He might be asking you to do something for them. He might be asking you just to pray for them. Now, let me say this. The word of knowledge is mostly not used in the public arena. Pastor's probably not going to come out with a word of knowledge about Brother Dan Kitch in the public arena, okay? But if God gives me something for Brother Dan, then I'm going to say, hey, Dan, let's meet for lunch, because he and I love those times, and let's just talk. And I'm going to say, Dan, tell me if I'm right or wrong. The Holy Spirit showed me this. Wow, Pastor, that's what I've been dealing with in the Scriptures. Wow, Pastor, that's where my life is. Wow, how do we pray about this? Can you help me with this, or can I help you, Pastor? He's calling me to help you in this, whatever the case may be. That's a word of knowledge. Because God would never want it to embarrass someone and hurt them. Do you get what I'm saying? That's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the gentleman, soft way that the Holy Spirit moves. It will always be used to glorify Him in their lives, in your life, in the life of the church. Many times, when we were kids, some of you would know this, we had a woman named Margie Grotto. She's still traveling today. Her name is Margie Florent. And Margie, she moved in this. And Margie had these eyes. You know, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. And Margie would look right into your eyes, and you knew that God had just said something to her for you. And Margie would tell you to stand up, and right there, man, she would just lay it out to you. Now, not in a way that hurt anybody. It was always a way that glorified God. So as kids, especially, I remember as teenagers, when we knew Margie was coming, that Saturday night, man, we all repented of everything. Because we were like, we know Sister Margie, man. She's going to look into our eyes, and she's going to know that we did that. She's going to know that we said that. Now, she never did that in the church. We were just always worried that God would make an example of us, right? And so those of you who've been here that long, you know who I'm talking about. You know that God used her in a mighty way and still does today. Many times it might be the Holy Spirit just working in us, giving us knowledge of God, growing our knowledge in the Word. Giving us the ability to stand against the questions that are bombarding us, the persecutions that are coming against us. I think of Stephen, when Stephen was being stoned. A word of knowledge came upon him, and he spoke the gospel to those who were stoning him as he's dying, as he's being pelted in the head with a stone, with huge stones, and dying. He is giving them testimony. I see Jesus at the right hand of the Father. Tell me that's not spiritual knowledge. He sees the heavens open. He sees Jesus at the right hand of the Father saying, Stephen, I'm bringing you home. Come home, my servant. Well done. I don't think Stephen felt one rock to hit him. I think the Holy Spirit was already lifting his spirit out of that flesh and taking him to glory as they were killing him for serving Jesus. He gives us the ability to understand something from God's word that we don't understand. Pray for a word of knowledge. You're reading a word in your devotion. Something pops up. Oh, I don't understand that. You can always call me. I'll try to help you. But know this. The word of knowledge can work in your life just as he does in mine and give you something and apply it and teach you how to apply it. If it is used in the public setting, and I've already said this, it would be most likely come forth in a message in tongues and in the interpretation. And we're not there yet, so don't let that upset you. That's in the last part of this series that we get to, okay? Number two, word of wisdom. This is the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to apply the truth that is presented in God's word. Sounds like word of knowledge. It's a little different. It works very closely with the word of knowledge. It also is the ability to know how to apply the word of knowledge. This is important because the word of knowledge can be dangerous if used incorrectly. It can hurt people. It can scar people. It can separate a church. The word of wisdom gives one the Holy Spirit ability to take that word of knowledge and use it for the correct purpose. Oh, this can be applied to our church this way. This can be applied to our church that way. This is very important because that purpose will always be furthering the kingdom of God. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So we all need wisdom, okay? James is saying we all need wisdom. But there are times when the body, there are times when a person needs the special gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom is from God, and it is frustrating to the foolish wisdom of the world. The smartest man that we have alive, Stephen Hawking. Wonder what happened. Well, he's dead now. But I wonder what happened to Stephen Hawking when he found out there was a God. Because the Stephen Hawking, in his smartness, said there wasn't a God. And today he's met him. I don't know what the outcome of that was. I don't know what the ending prayer of Stephen Hawking's life was. But he said that there was no God. And so Paul says this very clearly in 1 Corinthians 1:20, 25. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? This is from the New Living Translation because it really spells it out. God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God, in his wisdom, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Listen to what he says here. The most foolish wisdom that God could give you. Listen, if God gave you the most foolish wisdom that he could give you, it would be wiser than anything Albert Einstein ever came up with. It would be more important to living than anything that Stephen Hawking ever came up with. It would be more about the universe than any scientist, than any journal, than any college program could ever give you. You would be wiser than anything that mankind has ever come up with if God gave you foolish wisdom, but he doesn't give foolish wisdom. This is what we're talking about here today. It is given in times of persecution. Matthew 10, 18 to 20. Jesus says, you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Amen. So when persecution, when questions, when people are doubting your faith, Jesus, trust him. Jesus, I just need your words. I've done that. Jesus, I need your words. Go back a few messages or a couple messages a couple months ago and listen to a story that I told about a little girl named Abby. I don't have time to get into that today. God, I need your word. I don't know what to minister to this family. God said, love and life. And that's what I went to the hospital and ministered. And Abby's still alive today. It is used in problem solving. And that takes us back to our very first scripture for the series. Therefore, brethren, Acts 6:3, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. It is used in everyday living. I'm moving quick because I know my timer here is saying doop, doop, doop. It is used in everyday living. If any of you lacks, James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. It is used to interpret God's truth. And we had shared some of that. We had shared some of that wisdom in just the last few months when our teachers came up here and spoke on Wednesday nights about the end times prophecy. They were taking something that most people can't understand in their human intellect, the book of Revelation and Daniel. And they were passing to you wisdom that had been passed down through the Holy Spirit, the gift of wisdom that had been passed down through to scholars and passed down to us today about this is what's going to happen in the end days. This is what that is saying. This is how that relates to us and where we're living at today. You can find it all through the book of Revelation. It is the gift that the Holy Spirit will give to you when you're sharing the gospel. It is the gift needed to impart God's truth to others, especially since to most, as we've already read, it's foolishness. And I'm running out of time today, so I'm going to have to stop there, but let me give you the other side of the coin just for a minute, because if I'm going to teach you why you should believe in it, I want you to know what you're going to hear from the distractors or from the detractors. Because you will come into contact with people who attend church, good churches, loving God churches, and they're going to tell you that these gifts are no longer available to us today. Because they believe that these gifts passed away, especially the two we're talking about, that these gifts passed away with the original apostles. And I spoke about that last week. So let me start with this. Why would God cause something to pass away that is so needed by every believer today in the world that we live in to do life and to do ministry? It makes no sense. But here is what they will tell you. So be ready. And hopefully by the time that you meet them, you're going to have experienced it here at this church. You're going to have experienced these gifts in your own life. You're going to have experienced these things in a way that you're going to be able to say, I know for real. God's done it in me. He's done it around me, and so I know it's true. And so let's talk about this. They say that it was a gift only to be used as the doctrinal foundation of Christianity was being laid. This is what they believe. For the word of knowledge, they will argue that it was a supernatural ability to understand the canon of the Bible. In other words, which books were of God and which books weren't. Because, you know, not every book that was written made it into the Bible. These 66 books were laid by their church fathers, by these apostles, to say this is canon, this is not. This is going into the Holy Scriptures, this is not. This is just history. How does it happen? Level 3 of OSL will teach you that. But anyway, they believe that that was what that gift was for. And that was all that it was for. Or to teach the apostles what was divinely inspired for the start of the Christian church. And they will take 1 Corinthians 13:8 as their proof, where it says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And they believe that once the scriptures were set, that this gift of knowledge vanished away, that this gift of wisdom vanished away. Now, I need you to see something. If you're going to read 1 Corinthians 13:8, you need to read 1 Corinthians 12, you need to read 1 Corinthians 11, you need to read the book of 1 Corinthians, the letter of 1 Corinthians, to understand what it means. Because in no way can you take these scriptures, I don't believe you can take these scriptures, and say that these things are passed away. Because what Paul is speaking about is when Jesus comes back and takes us into heaven, and then we know perfectly. Then these things are no longer needed. Because we won't need wisdom from heaven. We won't need knowledge of heaven. You read 1 Corinthians, tell me if you can't come to that agreement with me. It seems to be that's the only way you can understand it. Paul's saying these things are going to pass away, but it's when I've come to be known as I am known, when I've come to the glory of heaven. They believe that once the scriptures were done, once the Bible was set, that it's no longer needed. And now that it was used for the foundation of Christianity and for the canon of the Bible, that was it. And yes, it was needed for the canon. Yes, it was needed to discern what books would be in the Bible. Jesus had to set that up. God had to set that up. But I believe that it is still for today, church, because I don't know about you, but I know a Bob, right? Bob, a bunch of believers who need this to lead them every day in their lives. And I am one of them. I'm Bob. I'm part of the bunch of believers that need the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. Let me finish up with the word of wisdom. It's very similar, so I don't need a lot of time. They will use the same scripture in 1 Corinthians, and they'll tell you that it's only mentioned once in the Bible, that being right here in the scriptures that we read today. And like the word of knowledge, that it was a temporary gift given to believers to receive and understand divine revelation, and once that revelation was given, that it was all done. Church, I'm going to tell you in closing, believe what you want. But please believe along with me that if it is for today, that we want to see it operating in our gatherings. If it is for today, we want to open our lives up to it every time we come together. Because I believe that we need these things today. Can I tell you that the children that are sitting downstairs need to see the power of the Holy Spirit? They need to see the power of God. Because any faith that they have is being ripped out of them in the public classroom. I mean, from kindergarten on. I'm just telling you the way it is. I work in a public school. I get it. They need to know that God is real. They need to know that His Holy Spirit is real, that His Holy Spirit is moving, and they need to know that His Word is truth. Amen? Amen? Amen. If you don't agree with me in some of these things, pray about them. Ask the Lord. And guess what? Maybe you'll be the first person to move with a word of wisdom in our church. Maybe you'll be the first person that God uses with a word of knowledge here, because He's going to say, you know what? Let me show you how real I am. Let me show you what I really want to do in the body of Abundant Living Church. And if you'll open yourself up to me, you're going to see great and mighty things. Amen. Amen. I'm sorry we couldn't get further than this, but there's a lot here, and I don't want to lose you. And I want you to be focused on what we're teaching. So after the Easter messages, we'll get right into the word of prophecy and go on with that, okay? Praise God. Let's pray.